Okay. Mr. Johnson, thank you very much for allowing me to interview you. My name is Gregory Wolf. It's April 26th, 2012. Mr. Johnson, you're out in Portland, Oregon. We wanted to talk to you about your career in baseball and initially about your high school years. I know that you were a phenom
in
American Legion ball in Portland in the early 1940s. Could you tell us about that?
Well, yeah. I was 16 years old, and I could throw pretty hard. I threw 95 miles an hour then. I had 6 no-hitters.
And that was in American Legion ball?
And high school, both, yeah.
Where did you go to high school?
Jefferson High School.
And do you credit a certain pitching coach or your family for helping you to develop your pitching skills?
My folks were from Sweden, and they didn't know nothing about nothing. So I just did it myself.
Uh-huh.
But I had a good coach at Jefferson High, Lindsey Campbell. But I was a natural. I could just, people were scared of bat against me. I didn't throw at anybody, but I could fire that ball. Yeah, I did.
And how did you know that you were so good in baseball if your parents were from Sweden?
Well, I played high school ball at American Legion ball. I excelled there. I was only I was 15 years old. I was only about 5'9" or 5'10", and didn't weigh very much. But I got a job in the park department, handling a big heavy mowing machine, and strengthened my wrist quite a bit. So I went from 5'9" to 6'2" to have 6'3", and 205 pounds after that. So, and then my parents said, "Well, you're a Swede. You know, the old people from the old country. So you're not going to play ball. You're going to work like us Swedes do." But they changed their mind when the scouts came around. That was fun. Yeah, I had a good career. I mean, I could have been better, but it's just one of those things. I didn't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't make much there. I think I made $25,000. That's the most I ever made.
Yeah, I know the baseball salaries in your era, they were incredibly low.
Oh, yeah.
Especially compared to today.
$14,000, $16,000. And Mickey Mantle and I signed a contract in 1951, and we both got $5,000 to sign for the year.
Wow.
$5,000.
Wow.
For the year, but then he turned out to be a superstar, you know, things like that, DiMaggio and them guys. I had a good career, and Joe DiMaggio, I was only 20 years old, he liked me, he took me under his wing, and I went every, he couldn't go on the street, you know. People would mob him. Mm-hmm. That's how famous he was.
Yeah. How and why did you sign with the Yankees in 1943?
Yeah, I what?
No, why did you sign with the Yankees in 1943?
Well, they gave me the best money, $10,000.
That was a $10,000 bonus in 43.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was a lot of money in 43, that's for sure.
Oh, brother. Yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of... I had a lot of ups and downs and things like that.
Now, you were just 17 years old when you started playing professional baseball in 1944. You started out with the Newark Bears, is that correct?
Kansas City.
Oh, you started off with Kansas City, okay.
Terrible team. But then they shipped me to Newark, and I won 6 and lost 1 there. We got the championship series.
Yes.
Newark Bears, that was fun.
Billy Meyer was the manager at Newark.
Billy Meyer.
Yeah.
I sure like him.
How was he as a manager, Mr. Johnson?
Great. He was a great manager. He's as good as anybody.
Did he work closely with pitchers?
No, not too closely. If you're up to Newark, you went out and pitched. You did the best. It's different. Them days, you know, we had, like when I was the Yankees, 47, we had one trainer. In the clubhouse, we didn't have that video stuff and all that junk they go through and weights. And if something happened to you on a mound, you walk in the Yankee clubhouse and the guy say, "Oh, go have a beer, Don. You'll feel better." That's all he did. Go have a shot. Yeah.
Well, it's amazing that as a 17-year-old, you're playing in the top league in baseball, the International League.
I mean, the Yankee Stadium at the end of that year.
That's. How was the Newark baseball field where you played?
Rupert Stadium.
Rupert Stadium.
Yeah, it was a kind of a rinky-dink ballpark, but it drew pretty good. Newark Bears. Hot dogs were only a dime. And you go up to Safeco Field in Seattle, they're $15 for a hot dog.
Yeah, I know.
Impossible. It's impossible. God, yeah. These guys, if you're a pitcher today, you win one and lose four and make $5 million. That's out of sight, dude.
Yeah, well, you're right about that.
That's too much money.
Do you remember
excuse me.
Do you remember your debut at Kansas City for Jack Salzgraver?
Yeah, Jack Salzgraver. Well, I did pretty good. I can't remember. I think I lost a close game, but we had a terrible team. A bunch of drunks and guys out of the service, couldn't do nothing, you know. But I like Jack. He's a good guy, Jack Salzgraver. Excuse me. Well, we had Goldie Holt. Remember him?
Oh, yes.
For a coach. Goldie.
Well, those teams that you played on, you're just 17 years old, but the average player is close to 30 those years.
Yes, they were.
How did you feel as a young guy being around all these older players?
Well,
some of them were 40 years old.
Because I know I had a good right arm, and that didn't take nothing from anybody. I got out of the monitor, hit it if you can. That's all I did.
Mm-hmm.
Have no slip pitch or circle change or whatever they have.
Right.
It's a fastball. I was up in the upper 90s when I was 17.
Well, that's amazing. I think I wrote you in the letter that I'm working on a little project about the American Association.
Excuse me for coughing.
Okay, no problem. In the 1940s. And do you remember anything about Municipal Stadium in Kansas City?
I liked the park. It was really it was a nice park. They had a couple of good sports writers there, and I live in a hotel. It cost me $2 a night. And then I moved into a house. A guy had a couple of ball players. A guy named Tommy Upton. He was a shortstop, young kid. And we got in the house. Didn't cost us nothing.
Wow.
Cost us nothing. But we go on a road trip. You know, we got $3 a day to eat on. That's not very good, is it?
No. Well, that's. Did you eat at the ballpark, or did you go into a little cafe?
No, we went to the White Tower Hamburgers.
Uh-huh. Now, when you in the American Association, when you were going to Milwaukee and Indianapolis and Louisville, did you travel by bus or did you sometimes go by train or only by train?
Train.
Always by train.
Always by train, yeah.
Were there any other parks in the American Association that you remember or that you thought were great because of their fans?
I liked Minneapolis, St. Paul, and who else?
Kansas City, Columbus, Milwaukee.
I like Columbus. That's a nice park. Very nice.
With the Redbirds.
Yeah, that's the only no-hitter I pitched in pro ball against Columbus. I was in Toronto. I had a no-hitter there, so that was the only one I had there. I at least got my name in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, you did. Well, it's amazing that the American Association, the International League in 1944, that's right below Major League Baseball.
I would say, to my estimation, that is almost as good as the big leagues, especially Newark. When I went to Newark, boy, that was getting the big time players there. You know, they were good. They were all good players.
Yeah, they were. They were definitely good. I've heard a lot of good things from former players.
Toronto. When I played with Toronto, I had good years there. My God, I was the MVP in '57.
I read that.
Did you read that?
I sure did.
Yeah, and Jack Kent Cook owned the team. Remember him?
Oh yes.
He was a nice guy. Every time I win a ball game, I come to the clubhouse with an envelope under my seat there with about $1,000 in there.
Wow!
I made money under the table. Guys bet on me. I guess I don't know. But that was a good. I had good years at Toronto. They loved me in Toronto.
Yeah, you sure did. You sure did.
Uh-huh.
Now, when you were in the military in 45 and 46, were you stateside or were you abroad?
Oh, I went to Fort Lewis, never got out of there.
Okay.
But we had a baseball team that won 40 straight, never lost a game.
And so you played on the military teams at the base?
Yeah. We had Ray Mueller, a catcher. Remember him?
Oh, yes.
And we had Dominic D'Alessandro, the Cubs, little guy. And we had all major leaguers. I was there. And I was only 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we won 40 straight. We had a good team travel around. And I couldn't go overseas because I had a skin disorder. I was allergic to wool.
Oh.
Yeah. They almost cut me loose, but they wanted to keep me in the Army so I could play for Fort Lewis. Yeah, true story. Good old days. Boy, they're hard to... I sit up in this hotel room and I think about baseball. That's all I knew. I didn't know nothing else.
Yeah.
And I get awfully depressed sitting here. I see these pitchers out here today. They can't throw a strike. They're all making millions. What the hell is going on? I don't know. Different era.
It really is, Mr.
Johnson. Like Nolan Ryan, because he likes his pitchers to go more than 6 innings.
Yeah.
If you're a pitcher today, you go 5 innings. And then somebody comes in, if you're ahead, they blow the lead, then crazy game.
Yeah. Well, in 1947, you're with the Yankees.
I won my first four.
Your first game in your major league career, you go 10 innings.
Yeah. 10 well, innings, all the way.
Well, it's amazing. You're 20 years old.
Yeah.
Going, what did you think about that game? Were you nervous?
No, not really. I got out in the mound, and I had a good team behind me. I had DiMaggio, Phil Rizzuto, and guys like that on my mm-hmm. club. Yogi Berra, Sherman Lawler, and I wasn't nervous. I could just throw hard, and I made a couple of mistakes, but one guy hit a home run off me. A 240 hitter hit a home run off me. And those days you pitched. You went all the way. You got the ball in your locker. You pitched. You didn't go 5 innings and say, I can't do it anymore. Get the other guy in there.
Yeah.
That's the sad thing about baseball today. And the DH, I don't like that. I hate it.
I don't either. I live here in Chicago on the north side, and I like going to see the Cubs. I don't mind seeing the pitcher bat either.
No. That was my best year in Chicago.
Yeah, it was.
2 saves, and I...
You had 3 shutouts?
Yeah, 3 shutouts. But then I had to go to the bullpen, and I didn't have anybody to close.
Yeah. You know, you ranked 4th in the American League in games appearances that year.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, with the Yankees, how was Bucky Harris as a manager?
Very good. I liked Bucky.
Why is that?
I don't know. He gave everybody a break. He didn't get on anybody. If he chew you out, he got you on the side. Not to chew you out in front of other players, things like that. You know who's hot right now? The Seattle Mariners. They're ahead 2-0 again at Detroit.
They have pitched well this year.
Well, they're playing Detroit right now, but I understand that what's wrong with these Tigers? They don't have. I think the Mariners are going to be there this year someplace.
Well, you know, they've pitched well, they've batted well. With the Yankees, did you talk to some of the pitchers like Allie Reynolds and Vic Rasche when you were there? Did
they
help you?
Yeah, they were good friends of mine. They really were. And the trouble is, see, I won my first 4 games. 4-0. And Charlie Dressen, remember him?
Oh, yes.
He said, "Hey, Don, you're lifting your leg too high." I said, "Well, fuck you." I said, "I got 4-0. What do you want me to do?" I didn't pitch much the rest of the year. It's who you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I just mopped up the rest of the year.
Okay.
Lifting your leg too high. I had 4-0. Well, what the hell's the difference? I had my own style.
Yeah.
Had a little pimp. I don't like him anyway. I never did care for his ass anyway.
Well, it's hard to change your style if you're already you have your mechanics down.
Yeah.
Now, in 1948, did you start off with Newark again or with Kansas City? You played for Portland, Newark, and Kansas City.
Yeah,
that year.
I had a kind of a bad shoulder. I didn't do very good. And I had a World Series ring.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent me from Newark to Portland. Yeah, a bunch of Portland. Car broke down in Wyoming. I had to sleep in an Indian teepee.
Oh, my gosh.
No money. I had a ring. So I had an old 41 Buick, and I had to pawn my World Series ring to get a new engine for that old car, which I had, and I took it down to spring training with the Yankees. And everybody wanted to drive it. Remember Johnny Lindell?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he was a good guy. We had a good team. Very good ball club that year. And so that's it. At 48, my arm wasn't that good. So they sent me down and brought Vic Rasche up.
Mm-hmm.
So Vic was a good guy. He's gone. They're all gone.
Yes.
All my friends are gone.
Yeah.
Rasche, Reynolds, Hank Bauer, and Yogi can't walk anymore. He's in a wheelchair.
He sure is.
And I went down to that reunion in 2010, and that was great. They gave me $1,500 to show up. And hell, I couldn't hardly put shoes, but they gave us the uniform. and $1,500, and we had everything free. And so I got to talking to Whitey Ford most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I pitched against Whitey a couple times there in 54. In fact, a baseball card, Mickey Mantle's 77th home run. And guess who threw the pitch? Me. It's on the card. Mickey was quite a guy.
He sure was.
Yeah.
He sure was. Did you have some arm problems again in 1949 when you were with Sacramento in the PCL?
No. Shoulder was kind of... Well, them days, they couldn't fix a torn labrum. I didn't have that. But just like I said, trainers, have a beer, it'd be all right. They didn't know nothing. We had one whirlpool, and now the guys go to and watch a video and what they do. We didn't have nothing like that. We had one trainer.
Yeah.
And he had something bad, here, have a shot.
Yeah.
We had Eddie Froelich was our trainer with the Yankees.
I've heard a lot about him.
Yeah, Joe DiMaggio, like me, he called me up to his room on our road trips, and I just sit there. I wouldn't say a word, and he said, okay, you can go now. I've brought an hour. Off I go. Well, we go to the movies. He wanted me to go with him, but I tell you, he couldn't walk on the street. You ought to have seen it. The people would completely mob him.
Mm-hmm.
All over it. See him in the movie theater, they stopped the show to get his autographs.
I can believe that. Who did you room with when you played with the Yankees?
Hank Shea. And Yogi Berra was my first roommate in 47. He got out of the Navy, I got out of the Army. And I can tell you this one story. I joined a ball club in New York. I got out of the service. So I caught the D train. Ever heard of that?
No.
That's the D train, the subway in New York.
Oh, the subway. I thought you meant a national train.
No.
The D train, of course.
I got on the train. I was supposed to go to 151st and 161st and River Road. That's where the stadium is.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know. I was a kid, you know. I got off at 134th Street. You know where that is?
Oh, yeah.
Harlem.
That's Harlem.
So I got off there in band. I tell you, people looking at me and, you know. So I saw this pink Cadillac across the street there. I went over there. Sugar Ray Robinson.
Oh, my gosh.
I went in there. He was there. He said, you got to get out of here. So he took me in his car and drove me to the Yankee Stadium. I got his autograph. A nice guy. About 5'10". He's a great fighter.
Yeah, he was.
But I was scared to death in that Harlem. I had to get out of there. A rough place. But that was fine. That was about one of my experiences in baseball. And he's a good guy, Sugar Ray. Another experience is DiMaggio down in spring training. Ever heard of this piano player called George Shearing?
I don't think so.
Oh, he was a blind piano player, a friend of Joe's. And we used to hang around the bars down there in St. Pete. Joe would just scotch and soda once in a while. That's all he'd drink. But he liked to have me around. I was a young kid. I'd tell him how good he is, how dressed out. The great Joe dressed up. He said, keep it up, you know. But he was a hell of a guy, Joe D. The best player I ever seen in my life. I know Mays is good and things like that, but I think Joe is a class ball player.
Yeah,
he was the best.
He lost some big years from the war, too.
Yeah, and Dom DiMaggio, his brother, was a good player.
He was.
Yeah, Red Sox, number 7.
No, Mr. Johnson, in 1950, you were traded to the Brownies in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, what a team.
How did you find out that you were traded?
Well, I had the skin disease, see, and they took me to a specialist called eczema. Ever heard of that?
Yes.
I had it all over my arms and everything. I had put that wool shirt on, and it really scratched an itch. So they traded me to the Browns for a couple of pitchers, Joe Ostrowski and somebody else, I think, and Dwayne Paulette went with me, and the Browns was okay, but nobody around. You know, it was a bad attendance.
I wanted to ask you about that. You go from baseball mecca in New York, and you're with the Browns, and you know they're drawing. A good game will be 5,000 people there. They drew about 3,500 a game.
Yeah, you go in the park, and all you hear is the guy says, "Here is beer man here, beer man here, here beer man." That's all you hear. I won 6 games with the Browns. I think Ned Garver was on my team. Remember him?
I do, and I had a question about Ned Garver. Can you tell me a little bit about him, any experiences that you had with him?
About a month ago, he called me.
He did?
Yeah, I want to see if I'm still alive. And also Virgil Trucks. Remember him?
I know both of those players pretty well.
Yeah, Virgil called me up. He's writing a book. He said, well, I know who I was because I saved a couple games for him when I was in Chicago. But he was a great pitcher.
Now, how was Ned Garber as a pitcher?
Good one.
What do you remember most about him? I know he had some really good years with the Browns.
He could throw strikes. He threw strikes. And he was always battling out there. And he's kind of his own man. He kept to himself. And but he won 20 games that year.
He sure did.
Yeah.
So he was a quiet man.
Kind of very quiet. He didn't say much to anybody.
And was he quiet on the mound as well? Or did he ever argue strikes and balls?
Never bothered an umpire. Very, very, very seldom.
Never did.
No. Well, I can say one thing about me. I mean, I pitched against Satchel Paige and Jackie Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
When he came up from spring training with Brooklyn, and I pitched against him and Satchel Paige, and so the ball players I was with and played against were, I mean, they're the all-time greats.
They sure are.
Feller. I lost three games to Feller, you know.
Yes.
1-0, 1-0, 2-1. He was a great pitcher.
He certainly was.
He could throw 110 miles an hour. Didn't have a gun then, but he could fire that. He had a great curve, too.
He did.
What a pitcher that guy was.
How did you like playing and living in St. Louis?
I loved it. Hot, but I loved it. I lived in Kirkland. My wife got a house rent in Kirkland.
In Kirkland?
Yeah, Kirkland, Missouri.
Yeah, I used to live in St. Louis. I lived around Grand and Lindell, about 2 miles.
That's from by Sportsman's Park.
Yeah, I used to live not far from Sportsman's Park.
Yeah, I loved old Sportsman's Park. The Cardinals had it, and we had it, too. So.
Yeah.
But the Cardinals would draw 30,000, and we'd draw 5,000.
I know. How was that park different for you as a pitcher than a Yankee Stadium? Did you have to pitch any differently there?
No, I didn't. I was kind of discouraged they sent me there, but hell, I was making money. I didn't make much. I got $12,000 a year. That's terrible. Isn't it?
Mm.
That year. I met a lot of nice guys, and Roy Seavers, and remember him?
Oh, yes.
I went to a reunion, the BAT, ever, the BAT?
The BAT, yes.
Yeah, I went to a big, 1977, I went to the BAT, I had a big party there, and I seen everybody, Don Drysdale, because he'd passed away in a hotel room, mm-hmm. And then Koufax, he was sick. But I like Pee Wee Reese and Joe Hodges. They were great, really great guys.
Yeah, they were. Now, with the Browns, with Zach Taylor, was he a pitcher's manager?
Zanzibar Zach. He was something. He couldn't manage a one-room or house, really, truly.
Are you serious?
Oh, he's a nice guy, but he's no manager.
Yeah.
Zach.
Well, I tell you, some of those years in St. Louis were atrocious.
Oh, really were. But I liked Zach. Everybody made fun of him, you know, because he didn't know shit from Shinola. I tell you what, our Browns team did in 1950. We came into Cleveland, and we swept them 4 games. And they lost them 4 games and enabled the Yankees to win the pennant.
Oh, my God.
Knocked them off 4 times. We went to Detroit and won 3 out of 4 there. The old St. Louis Browns. So we knocked a couple teams out, so the Yankees slipped in there.
They slipped in.
Well,
in 1951, you meet up with Bucky Harris again when you're traded to the Senators.
Yeah, I like Bucky. We had a good team, not bad. They had Connie Marrero, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
And Sandy Consuegra and Julie Marino, pitchers. And I won 7 games there, and I thought they thought that was great.
Yeah.
I had good luck against Detroit Tigers. I love Briggs Stadium. I just love that place. Al Kaline played against him.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you were traded to the Senators, I mean, Marrero won a few more games than you did, but I think you were the most effective pitcher on the team that year.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I gave it my best shot. That's all I could do. But, you know, I miss baseball. I sit in this room here, and I think about the old days.
Mm-hmm.
And I get depressed fact, I've had to take pills. I get depressed. You know, I can't play anymore. I can't do. I never had a job.
Wow.
Baseball. Well, I drove a cab for a while, and I got shot up pretty bad. Cab holed up, and much after that.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, a guy shot me right through the head.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I got $19 on him. That's all I had.
Huh.
That's right. What a time. But I got to know the Glenn Miller Orchestra pretty good. I used to hang out there. Ever heard of Ray Eberly and...
The Eberly Brothers?
No, this is Ray Eberly.
Oh, Ray Eberly, no.
Bob Eberly, Helen O'Connell. You're, how old are you?
Well, I'm only 46.
Oh, you don't remember those days?
No.
Helen Forrest, I loved her. She was Glenn Miller. And they had a great band, you know that? The best band I ever heard in my life.
Well, I heard of them from my parents as well.
And they played at the Glen Isle Casino in New York.
In New York.
Yeah, the Glen Isle. So when we were home, I used to go watch them. Me and Yogi Berra go over there and watch the Glenn Miller Orchestra. After a while, we were told to stay away from there because I don't know a lot of shady characters hanging around these nightclubs, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I see some of that in the biographies of the old Yankee players in the 1950s and what was going on there.
Well, I stayed at the hotel where all the guys, all the roundup guys that stayed there. And it was a Belvedere Hotel in New York. After all the
Belvedere.
And some guy offered me $5,000 to throw a game if I was out there.
Oh, my gosh.
Report that to the league.
Yeah.
His name was Dave Diamond. I remember that. You get $5,000 to make a bad pitch here. If you come in to relieve, make sure that somebody gets on. So I said, okay. I went to the league president and ended that right now. But that was a bad deal. The only bad deal I had there.
Yeah, I did not know. I've never heard that story.
You have now.
Yeah. Well, in 53, you're back into you're in Toronto. You mentioned that you're pitching for Burley Grimes, who's managing the team.
Burley,
how was he as your manager?
Oh, great guy. Burley won almost 300 games in a big league.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yes, he did. Burley Grimes.
Did he help you at all with your pitches, your control, and?
He talked to me about pitching, about throwing strikes and getting ahead of hitters and things like that. Good guy. I had a good year with Toronto that year.
Yeah, you certainly did. You won 15 games.
And then I went to Chicago after 54. And so I've had kind of up and miss career. But Bob Feller told me, he said, if they'd have started you every 4 days, you would have won 200 games in the American League.
Yeah.
Every 4 days start. But see, it's who you know. Like, I got in trouble with dressing, you could lift the leg too high. I said, well, stick it in your butt. I got 4-0, and that didn't pitch much more that year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's who you know.
Yeah, I know that had to be frustrating if you're not starting on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah.
Well, with the White Sox, you start off with Paul Richards and then go on to Marty Marion. I've heard talked to a lot of baseball players who say good things about Paul Richards. Was he a good manager for you?
Yes, he was. Waxahachie, Texas, where he's from.
Yeah.
And, no, he was a good guy, but then he went to Baltimore, you know.
He did.
And
he was your manager the next year in Baltimore.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to go to Baltimore. I wanted to stay in Chicago.
You wanted to stay there.
Because I had good heart partners, and Nellie Fox and Billy Pierce.
Yeah.
They were good players. That was a good team. Well, we won 95 that year and ended up third. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Yankees won, Cleveland won that year. Good player, George Kell.
Well, when you were with the White Sox in 54, you were back with Virgil Trucks.
Yeah, Virgil, yeah. I saved at least 4 games for him. I come in at 8th and 9th and got him out. And then one game, they gave me the win, but they gave it back to Trucks so he could win 20. We're going to give this win to Virgil so he can make 20.
Mm-hmm.
Fine with me. I don't care. But I like Chicago. I lived in Cicero.
You lived in Cicero?
Yeah.
Yeah, my mother-in-law is from Cicero.
Hey, that's a rough town, but I liked it. A lot of gangsters there.
Yeah, well, isn't that where Al Capone's supposedly from?
Yeah, Cicero, Illinois.
How was playing at Comiskey Park for you?
I loved it. I loved that park. I did.
You just took the bus in from the west side into Comiskey?
I had a car. I had my car. I got a Buick. We used to go out there. I just got a brand new Buick in Chicago. And the first day I had it, I come back from the park and somebody threw a ball against the windshield and broke it.
Oh, man.
And, oh, yeah. I like Chicago. I did. And I had a good ERA that year.
Well, I just saw that was about 20% above the above league average. I mean, what's really strange for me that year is you pitched in a lot of games. You started close to 20. You had three shutouts, too.
Yeah, I did. But then they wanted somebody in the bullpen. So what am I going to do? You know, I can't say I don't want it. I'll do what you ask me to do, you know.
Right. Well, did you notice anything different the way Marty and Marion coached than
Paul Richards? Yeah. Well, it's just like night and day. Marty Marion is really no manager. He was just Marty Marion, a great shortstop of the Cardinals, you know.
Right. Yeah, I talked to Virgil Trucks a while back.
Oh, you did?
And he told me that he did not like Marty Marion because he wouldn't pitch him the right way. That's what Trucks told me anyway.
That's for sure.
Yeah, he wasn't getting the regular starts and be pushed around in the rotation, and that's kind of how it was for you too.
Yeah, I started. I had a hell of a start there. Then I had to go in the bullpen, and they didn't have anybody else to do it. So then I had a bad back. I had to wear a corset. Christ's sake, I've had a hell of a time off and on. But it's the same old thing, you know. If you go in the clubhouse or have a drink, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, we were allowed to, in Chicago and in New York, we weren't allowed to play golf.
Oh, you weren't?
No, not the pitchers.
Afraid that you would strain your back or your shoulders?
There you are, yeah.
Yeah.
And lift weights, that's out of sight. No weights.
Mm-hmm.
No weights. Which I strictly agree. Them weights are bad. And then they started taking them damn steroids. I tell you, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. In Chicago, after the games, did the players go out for a drink or to a restaurant, or did you tend to go back home, back to Cicero?
I went. My wife was there then. I went back to Cicero. But you mean on the road trips?
Road trips or in Chicago,
hit
too.
Oh, bars like mad. As soon as the goddamn game's over there, they go, you know. Not to get staggering drunk, but they'd hit that booze quite a bit.
Yeah.
Mickey Mantle was a good friend of mine, and he died in his backyard. You know that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Over the cliff for the bartender from Detroit. And he was a hell of a player.
He certainly was.
But,
who did you room with when you were in Chicago?
I roomed by myself for a while.
Wow.
And then we got Phil Cabaretta.
Phil Cabaretta.
I roomed with him.
Huh.
Yeah. He was quite a guy. Good player.
Yeah.
All of them years with the Cubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Phil Cabaretta. Yeah, I roomed with him for a while. And
now, when you were in Baltimore in 1955, back with Richards, you weren't there, I don't think, for the whole season. Did you get injured in 55, Mr. Johnson?
No, I wasn't injured. It just didn't pitch me.
He didn't pitch you.
I was kind of depressed. I didn't want to go to Baltimore. I didn't want to go to Baltimore. I wanted to stay in Chicago. Made a lot of friends there and had a good year. But that's what happens in baseball. See, no free agents those days.
No, you're playing with that reserve clause. They got it. You got to do what they tell you.
Kurt Flood started that free agent stuff, as agents and all that crap. So I don't know.
Well, when you...
I'm grateful I got to play all these years. I really do. I've met a lot of nice guys. But all my friends are gone.
I understand what you mean.
Rashi. I like Rashi and Reynolds and Hank Bauer and guys like that. They were Prince guys. I really were.
When you were in Toronto for 4 years, from 56 to 59, your first manager out there was Bruno Betzel.
What can you
tell me about him?
He's all right, Bruno. We go to Cuba, you know, Havana?
Oh, yeah?
He couldn't control anybody. Then we had that Dixie Walker. He was horrible.
Now, about Bruno Betzel, did you go to spring training in Cuba when you were with Toronto?
No, I went spring training in... Where the hell was that town in Florida? Oh, Damn, I love that place. In Florida. Fishing on them rivers.
Yeah, I could look that up,
too. I can't remember. You know, I'm getting older. I can't remember half the things I've done. But that was... what the hell was that? Oh, I love that spring training with Toronto. God, yes. I can't remember where it was. What?
Well, that's okay.
No,
was Bruno Betzel someone that worked well with pitchers?
No, he didn't work with anybody. He just managed. He didn't do much.
He had a long career managing in the American Association,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Bruno Betzel.
And then in the IL.
I like Bruno. He's a good guy.
Did Toronto have any pitching coaches at that time?
Pitching coach? Let me think. No, we didn't have no pitching coach. I had nothing.
Nothing there.
I had a trainer, Smitty. He's drunk every day, but he's a good guy. Jack Kent Cook, but we had a good team in Toronto.
And so Jack Kent Cook owned Toronto all those years. You played with him.
Yes, sir. In fact, I liked his wife a lot. She was beautiful, but she died lately, I think. But Jack's gone too, you know.
Yes, I know.
And his son took over. He don't know nothing.
They've been involved in a lot of different sports teams, that's for sure. Now, you mentioned Dixie Walker. Now, you don't think that he did a good job with Toronto?
Well, he might have, but he didn't do a good job with me. I jumped the club there in Montreal one year, and they begged to get me back, but me and Dixie got into it in the clubhouse. And
what happened? What was the cause of that?
Well, he said I didn't have any guts, and I took that for a wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
So I took a swing at him, and then they fined me and suspended me a little while. I walked the streets of Montreal for about a week. I ran into a couple of good hockey players there, and I had a bank account in Toronto. I ran out of money. So I come back, and first game I pitched a shutout against Syracuse. So they welcomed me back. Huh. Toronto.
No, was that in 1957?
Right.
That was your big year.
It sure was.
You had a wonderful year.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did. I got the MVP. And it was pretty good for me.
Yeah. Well, that was... was there any discussion that you would go back to the majors?
Well, the Yankees tried to buy me again that year. I don't know what happened. But I went to the Giants. It's a terrible story about my... I had three shutouts in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giants scouting around the Giants. So they sold me to the Giants. Ernie Broglio and somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get to San Francisco, and the headline's in the paper, Giants buy Johnson to drink up all the Hammond's beer in San Francisco. Now, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I could have sued him. I got calls from Toronto, Port Rider. I could have sued him.
Mm-hmm. For libel.
Oh, God. Buy Johnson to drink up all the Hammond's beer. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. So, Dixon...
I had some good players. I didn't care... me and Willie Mays got into it. I joined the club in the clubhouse, and I was going to change clothes again. He said, I told him who I was, introduced myself, and he said, you're one of those American League rejects.
Huh.
Exact words. You know what I told him? I said, you couldn't carry Joe DiMaggio's jockstrap. That was it. And I didn't pitch much that year. Bill Rigney.
Yeah.
Crappy manager. Crappy. That's my opinion.
Who do you think your best managers were?
Oh, I say Paul Richards. Billy Meyer.
Billy Meyer.
Oh, I love that guy. And who was the other one I really liked? I liked old Burley.
Mm-hmm.
Burley was good.
Burley, yeah, he was.
That was all right.
Well, Billy Meyer had that great career in the Yankees organization. Well, then the Pittsburgh Pirates brought him up and bought his contract to coach in the early 50s and went through some hard years with the Pirates.
Billy Meyer.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that guy. He was so fair and really great. I mean, he was. He called me up to his hotel room and said, hey, Don, you got a great arm. Don't let the booze get your women or whatever, mm-hmm. You know. And I don't know. I played winter ball down there, and I stayed in, remember George Raft?
Oh, yes.
I stayed in his hotel.
You did?
Yeah, down in Cuba.
Wow.
Havana, Cuba. What a place.
That must have been crazy in those days.
Oh, yeah. You bet it was.
Yeah. Did you typically just fly there from Miami to Havana?
Yeah, Miami to Havana. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Took a plane. Yeah, right.
Wow.
And Castro, I pitched against Castro too. You know, he was a pitcher.
I know. I've heard.
University of Havana. Throw hard. Looked pretty good. He's same age as me. I don't know how in the hell I'm still alive. I don't know how, but I am. I guess.
Well, you pitched your last year in your hometown.
Yeah, I had a bad arm. Couldn't do that. Was I going to say something? I remember Tommy Bridges.
Oh, yes.
Boy, what a curveball he had. He was a great pitcher, Tommy Bridges. He came to Portland, and I roomed with him a while in Portland.
In Portland?
Yeah, drunk every night, but he loved that scotch. But he was a hell of a pitcher, that guy. He really was.
Yeah, there were some great great breaking ball pitchers, that's for sure.
Oh, he had the best.
Well,
right over the table.
Could you tell me a little bit about your pitches? I know that you're you had the reputation of one of the hardest throwers in your era. Did you throw an overhand fastball, or was it at three quarters?
Three quarters.
Three quarters.
And once in a while, I would come overhand if I get two strikes on a hitter. I come overhand because my ball tailed up, you know. You have pitchers that are good fastball pitchers, but straight as a string.
Mm-hmm.
But mine were kind of tailed up a little bit.
So you had some natural movement on your ball there.
Yeah, it moved.
Okay.
I have to move.
And tell me about your other pitchers that you tended to throw.
I had a curveball. I couldn't throw one. I just spinned it, but I got it into a slider. At the end of my career, I had a good slider, real good slider.
Slider.
Yeah. Well, the umpire said I had one of the best he's seen, and he got killed in a car accident down in Florida someplace. And he was a good umpire. Can't remember his name, but kind of a tall guy.
Did you have a long follow-through?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So you had a long stride, long follow-through.
I like to be in position to feel my position after, you know, a lot of pitchers go left, third base, or first base. I try to stay in front so I can feel my position.
Oh, yeah.
That's how that works.
So that was, and the slider that you threw, was that also at about three quarters, about the same position as your fastball?
Position. Also, my change up, I called a circle change. I put the ball all the way in my hand and throw it the same motion, and it wouldn't get there. But now they got called a splitter.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I guess it goes down, or spitter, or some damn thing.
Yeah. In all of your career, were there any catchers that you really liked catching your games?
Yogi. I liked him. And Sherm Lawler, remember him?
Sherm Lawler, of course.
He was a great catcher. I loved him. Loved to pitch against that. Pitch to him. He's gone, too. They're all gone. I don't know.
Well, that's...
Garver called me the other day.
Who did?
Ned Garver,
well...
You want to know if I'm still alive? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd asked you if you had any stories about Ned Garver.
Oh, the only thing I know is quiet. He kept himself, very clean liver, didn't drink.
Uh-huh.
And didn't smoke, but a good pitcher on the mound.
Were there a lot of players back in your era that smoked cigarettes?
Oh, yeah, DiMaggio. Smoked Chesterfield.
Yeah, I've seen some of the old ads of his.
I smoked them because he did. I don't know. I didn't inhale, but I always had one in my mouth. And cigars. I went to cigars.
Went to cigars.
Yeah. And then chewing tobacco. I chewed tobacco a long time.
Yeah, that was pretty common back then.
Oh, yeah. That beech nut.
Did you see that the Major League Baseball wanted to try to outlaw tobacco completely?
Oh, they should, because that's but look at that good center fielder with the Dodgers. They got half his throat cut away. What is his name anyway?
Yeah, well, Tony Gwynn had a mouth surgery because he had cancer.
Tony Gwynn.
Yeah.
What a hitter, huh?
Yeah.
And his son is pretty good too.
Yeah, I saw his son play a few weeks ago in Milwaukee.
Not like Tony though.
No, he doesn't have that kind of talent. That's for
nobody.
Sure.
Nobody got talent like Tony Gwynn.
No, he batted about .338 in his career.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Johnson, what do you think your best or your favorite memory is from baseball? Anything? It could be major leagues, minor leagues, even out there in the American Association.
Bob Feller. I lost 1-0, 1-0, and 2-1.
Wow.
Pretty good.
And those are your favorite memories?
Yeah, a lot of memories. And the memories of meeting Joe DiMaggio, getting on the plane in New York, and one side of the plane is Joe DiMaggio and Jack Dempsey.
Jack Dempsey.
The fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to know him. And he had a bar in New York, Jack Dempsey's bar, and most of the players would come in there and go to, you know, and one time I was sitting in there, and this guy was drunker than hell. He walked in there, and Jack was attending bar, and he said, "Jack, I need a drink." He said, "I'm sorry, son, I'm not the champ anymore."
Uh-huh.
I'll never forget it. But he did give him a drink finally before I got it.
Yeah, well, he was a great great pound-for-pound fighter.
Well, he beat the shit out of Cassius Clay.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Volk hit another home run?
I'm sorry?
I'm watching Seattle.
Oh.
They're ahead of Detroit again. What's wrong with Detroit?
They have been up and down this year, haven't they?
They're terrible. They got one pitcher.
Yeah.
Verlander.
Yeah. I tell you, he throws some speed, doesn't he?
Oh, he got the that's pretty good accomplishment. He got the MVP and the Cy Young at the same year.
Yeah, he did.
Isn't that something else?
He did.
Right.
Is when you think back over your career, or when you talk to some of your old former teammates, or talk to other people you know in Portland about your career, what is maybe the thing that you're most proud of in your baseball career?
The thing I'm most proud of is I got to play in the big leagues.
Yeah.
And that's quite an accomplishment as it is. Because these days, it's hard to get there. You know,
yeah.
Of course, they got the little league now. They got this college. The one thing I don't like about college is they got them crazy bats. It sounds like a broomstick hitting the ball. Remember, the aluminum bats?
Yes.
They ought to outlaw that. These kids play college ball, and they get to the majors or spring training with a club, and they go back to the wooden bats.
Yeah.
I don't like those goddamn aluminum bats.
Yeah, I don't either.
Crap. Really is.
Yeah, and it affects the way they're scouted, too. You know, they're batting 440. But then they wind up batting 220 in the minors.
Yeah, that's right. And these kids today, in my day, there was no draft.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. You just had to go and make it. You had somebody look at you and sign you and things like that. But, I got to know Mickey Mantle quite a bit. And he had problems, a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
He used to go in the clubhouse between innings and have a shot of vodka. Do you know that?
Wow.
Oh, yes.
Well, he had a lot of injuries, that's for sure.
Yeah, Mickey was a great player.
When you talked about your contracts, how did you negotiate the contracts? Did you just go and talk to the general manager?
Just sent me a contract.
Just sent it, and you signed it and sent it back?
Signed it and sent it back.
Not much room to negotiate.
Oh, hell no. No, not them days. And Clark Griffith, the owner of the Washington Club, he was a tight old bastard. He didn't give you nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Clark Griffith. Washington, that was one of my favorite players was Mickey Vernon. Ever heard of him?
Oh, of course. He managed the Senators after his career ended.
That was one of my favorite players. Used to hang around with him quite a bit.
Yeah, he was on the 1960 Pirates team as a coach.
Yeah, and then he won the batting title one year with Washington.
He sure did.
And really a prince of a guy, I tell you. I like Mickey Vernon, a really good guy.
When you after the season in 1960 with Portland, did you try to come back after that, or did you just simply retire?
I just retired.
Retired.
Yeah, I didn't want to try it.
Did you do anything else in baseball? Were you involved with any teams?
I'd like to have been a coach or a scout, but nobody would take me. It was hard to get a job, so
yeah.
I didn't. I drove a cab for a while, and that was about it. I didn't do nothing. Mm-hmm. I live on my laurels now.
Yeah.
I get a lot of cards, baseball cards from kids. They send me cards, and I sign them and send them back. And that keeps me going a little bit.
Well, I understand that. I understand that.
I like to hear from the kids and everything like that. So.
Well, that's you had a career that I think, for me, as somebody who writes about baseball, I especially enjoy talking to pitchers from your era, from the mid-40s through the early 1960s, about the changes in the game. You mentioned people like Ned Garver and Virgil Trucks and Billy Pearce and a number of the pitchers. And I like to hear your perspectives about how you learned to pitch and who helped you. You mentioned Burley Grimes.
Yeah.
Was there maybe another manager or a pitcher, a teammate, a pitcher, or maybe even a pitching coach that you thought was really helpful with pitchers?
Well, I try to follow Bob Feller.
Bob Feller.
Yeah, you look at him, he just everything was perfect.
Yeah.
And of course, I got screwed up with the Yankees. I kept my big mouth shut. I probably done a lot better. There's certain breaks in baseball that you got to make your own, you know.
Yeah.
And you can't talk back to anybody up there.
Yeah.
I like Crosetti. Frank Crosetti.
Oh yeah.
He was something else.
Well, he was a big guy in the 1930s for that team.
Jackie Jensen, remember him?
Oh, for the Red Sox.
Yeah. I beat the Red Sox 1-0 one time in Chicago in '54. And it was a hell of a game, 1-0 all the way. And the Red Sox they didn't have Ted playing that day, but they had Pearsall and
Jensen.
Jackie Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
And
was Don playing?
Charlie Maxwell.
Maxwell. Mm-hmm. Of all the stadiums that you played in, was there any one specific one that you really enjoyed?
Briggs Stadium in Detroit.
Briggs. Why was that?
Because I went there all the time.
Ah, well, that's
a
perfect
a lot of
reason.
Games, but I give a good account of myself there. And I know they had a short porch in right field.
They did.
Hanging over the ballpark, hit them fly balls up there. But, I mean, I will say about baseball, there's some really great guys I got to play with and against, and I think they're all in heaven now where they belong, and,
right.
And that's the way I feel. I'm ready to go myself. Hell, I'm up there in age, you know.
Well, don't say that too soon.
Oh, I don't know. I'm ready to go. I have no future. Just sit here. I can still walk.
Well... It's definitely a great opportunity to talk to you. I appreciate you taking your time today to talk
Anytime
to me about baseball.
Anytime, you sound good. Now, thank you very much for allowing me to talk to you about baseball.
And it's
I could talk it for years. I could talk it all day.
Well, you're like me. You're like me, except I'm a nobody and you're a former major leaguer.
Well, I'm nobody either. I'm just here. But, you know, I tell you one thing about me. I know I played in the big leagues. People know that. And they respect me for it.
Yeah.
They say, hey, you played in the big leagues. You can walk down the street and hold your head high.
Yeah.
But the hell, the other guy walked down with a briefcase.
Yeah.
Hell, I don't know anything about a computer. I don't know. I have no cell phone. I don't know nothing about it. And when I to call on the phone, I like to have somebody answer and say, you got to punch 5 buttons to get through. Is that true?
Yeah.
Punch that button.
I know all that is. Well, you, back when you played, there were only 16 teams.
Yeah.
You're talking about, there were less than 75 starting pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, that's right. And then you had to win the pennant to get in the World Series. There was no playoffs and this. Things have changed.
They sure have.
So that's how it goes. I can't believe that Seattle's going to beat Detroit 3 straight games here.
Well... Detroit needs to get on the ball, that's for sure.
Do something.
That's for sure.
Got one pitcher, that's all I got. Porcello's fairly good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has some future, that's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, where do you live anyway, I forget?
Well, in Chicago.
Oh, good old Chicago.
In Chicago.
Yeah, I love Chicago.
Well,
I like that L goes over there to Milwaukee. You know, that train.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when I go to the games, I'm on the L. You take the red line down to Comiskey, Chicago, of course, it's called Verizon Field now.
Well, what happened to Comiskey Park? They tore it down?
Yeah, the old Comiskey they tore down about 20, 22 years ago.
Oh, my God, where's the years gone by?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I can't believe it. You wake up one morning, you're 40, next morning you're 80. You never know.
They tore that old beautiful stadium down about a generation ago, and have another field they built. It was the last field built before Camden Yards.
Uh-huh.
Out in Baltimore, so it's a nice place. Of course, it's not as cozy as Wrigley is.
I think the old Yankee Stadium was better than the new one.
I haven't been out to the new one.
Well, I was there in 2010 for their reunion,
mm-hmm.
for Old Timers Day, and I got to there. But I liked, you know, nowadays they got in between innings, they got rock and roll music and the screens. They never used to have that in rock.
Yeah, all kinds of entertainment.
Yeah, all entertainment, all kinds of stuff.
That's for sure.
But now it's all different. Everything's different.
That's for sure.
For Dwayne Paulette?
I'm sorry, what's his name?
Paulette. Dwayne Paulette.
Yes.
Yeah, he died last year. He wanted. He was at a reunion with me. And he said, "I don't want to live anymore," he said.
Well.
Passed away.
Passed away?
88 years old.
88.
Yeah.
Well, that's getting on up there.
Just say that again.
Getting on up there. Well, Mr. Johnson, thank you again. I really appreciate your generous time.
Anytime.
Okay.
Nice talking to you, and thanks you for allowing me to talk baseball.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
You have a great day.
You have a good evening.